saving money on everything you need at Menards. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements, and it enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 26 colors of Owens Corning Duration shingles and transform your home today. Shop our selection of roofing products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. South Caucasus, an area I've traveled to several times, but I bring on two experts on the South Caucasus where there's been conflict these last months. First, Dr. Brenda Schaefer, Professor Brenda Schaefer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, who's introduced to me to the language of both the South Caucasus and energy fields around the Caspian Sea Basin. And then Ambassador Aline Suleymanov, representing the Republic of Azerbaijan in the United States, who's been my guide through Azerbaijan more than once and helped me understand the end of the Soviet Union left conflict zones all around the edges, and one of those conflict zones in the South Caucasus, these many decades later, since the late 20th century, has yet to be resolved. This has to do with the conflict zone called Nagorno-Karabakh, a part of Azerbaijan that was occupied by Armenian military forces for decades. A recent conflict ending with a ceasefire in November of 2020 during the pandemic put Azerbaijan in the position of resettling all the people who had been refugees these decades from the farmland, the beautiful mountainous farmland of Nagorno-Karabakh. The Russians stepped in and offered peacekeepers to separate the two forces, the Armenian forces and the Azerbaijan forces. However, now there is constant concern that the ceasefire will break down and there are incidents to explain. So this morning I looked at the news and saw, because overnight there were more accusations flying back and forth, chiefly to do with Armenia accusing Azerbaijan about firing on soldiers. I read from Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. An Armenian soldier was killed on May 25th in a border shootout with Azerbaijani forces, the Armenian Defense Ministry said. Azerbaijan's foreign ministry, in response, accused Armenia of deliberately fueling tensions in the border zone by disseminating lies. Mr. Ambassador, a very good day to you. I start with this tragic incident because it seems to me a microcosm of the larger story of allegations flying back and forth, people either being hurt or threatened to be hurt. And how can we understand this now, this endless conflict with Armenia and Nagorno-Karabakh? Good day to you.
Good day, John. Always good talking to you. Regarding the most latest, the latest allegations, my understanding is that Azerbaijani side did not fire on the Armenian side. In fact, according to Armenian oil sources and the Russian military presence there, we must understand that on the Armenian side of the border, very much Russian forces are very much present. The bases, Russian bases in Armenia and Armenian border, Armenia's borders are guarded by Russian border guards. From what we hear from them is that the Armenian soldier who unfortunately died in this incident was it was an internal problem. It was something, an unfortunate incident, which was caused by Armenia's own fire, not by Azerbaijani side. On the contrary, we also hear that Armenians opened fire on Azerbaijani positions along the border, state border between Armenia and Azerbaijan, as late as today, and Azerbaijani side did not return fire, which is an important element of calming the situation down. Now, the most important part of it to understand is that for the last 30 years, the border between Armenia and Azerbaijan was not demarcated. It was not, it has not been delimited. And the reason is because Armenia occupied illegally Azerbaijani territory from the moment of independence of both Armenia and Azerbaijan. And as a matter of fact, that's why there has been no delimitation process. So, of course, there was a certain friction as we restore international law and as we try to normalize the border region between Armenia and Azerbaijan. I I think we should approach it as a normal technical process without dramatizing and trying to find a way to build a normal neighborly relationship. You know, John, I would also point out to a recent conversation which President Aliyev, president of Azerbaijan, had with a number of international experts and former leaders. And in that conversation, he referred that Azerbaijan is very much open and is working to sign a comprehensive peace treaty with Armenia. Because what we want is a lasting peace in an integrated region. What we want to have is to live in a neighborhood with our Armenian neighbors, which would be prosperous, inclusive, both of Armenia and Azerbaijan, but also of Georgia, our third South Caucasus neighbor, and the wider region in which Armenia could be a part of prosperity and inclusivity, communications, and economic development. For that, of course, delimiting the border, demarcating a border region is a normal thing, and Armenian side should not dramatize it and turn everything into another historic drama for Armenian people. There is nothing so dramatic there. The other thing is we should also understand that Armenia is undergoing a domestic political debate, which is very heated. There will be elections in Armenia on June 20th. So I think we should also look at the domestic political context to understand what's happening.
Professor Schaefer, understanding that I have of the region comes and from your teaching in many instances, and this conflict zone of Nagorno-Karabakh is at the center, as the ambassador says, of several states sometimes at odds with each other. That would be Armenia, Turkey, Azerbaijan, Georgia, and Iran. You've introduced me recently to the fact that these areas, the sovereignty of these areas, does not describe entirely how peoples are similar across these borders. The Azerbaijani Turks of Iran, for example, have a great deal in common with the Azerbaijani citizens in Azerbaijan. Nagorno-Karabakh is in the middle of a Turkic family, a large Turkic family. How should we all understand this seeking of resolution among family members or among people who have crossed borders over the last centuries and they're all mixed up? How should we understand it, Brenda?
Thank you, John. You know, first thing, you know, for listeners sitting somewhere in the United States listening to your show and thinking, what do I care about a demarcation of a border between Armenia and Azerbaijan? What does this have to do with me as an American? I think it's really important to understand that geography of the region, that this border conflict is taking place. It's really an epicenter of where Iran, Russia, and Turkey meet. And that's why it's been, you know, such an important, region, because really it affects the geopolitics widely. So if you're interested in policy towards Iran, policy towards Russia, you know, a policymaker in Washington should take an interest in this region. And so these are not, you know, one foot this way or one foot that way, but it's actually something that affects larger scale geopolitics. And what's really sad is that the U.S. could really be a force for good in this region. The U.S. has big interests in this region. You know, again, anything connected to Russia, U.S.-Russia policy, U.S.-Iran policy. But as you notice, there's just, you know, Russian peacekeeping forces there, you know, Russian mediation between Armenia and Azerbaijan. And it's very sad to see that, you know, the U.S. really doesn't have a political influence or important influence in this region anymore in the outcomes of the conflict.
And the peoples all mixed up together, Brenda. Is there a reason to believe they can be separated by borders, or is this going to take a larger conversation? I'm thinking of the Turkic peoples and the Armenians and the Russians. Their religious challenges, their cultural challenges, and there's certainly the ghost of the Soviet Union hanging over all this.
Right. You know, it's interesting you mentioned the ghost of the Soviet Union. This year we will mark 30 years to the collapse of the Soviet Union. And the real story of the collapse of the Soviet Union, you know, that's quite amazing, is that despite the fact that there were literally hundreds of ethnic borders that didn't overlap with the political borders of most of the new countries, almost all of the countries just accepted the Soviet era domestic borders between the various republics and understood that, you know, if they start going to war over this village, that village, you know, moving Kyrgyz here, Uzbek there, Georgians here, there, that everyone's going to lose. So most of the former Soviet Union easily, you know, delimited and the borders between the new countries and accepted, just accepted that it's better just to accept those Soviet era borders and move on and have peace. The only region where this was challenged was in the South Caucasus and it's by both Russia and Armenia. With Armenia, instead of just building their own state and enjoying their independence, you know, trying to take some chunks out of Azerbaijan, and which led to the expulsion of almost a million Azerbaijanis from their homes, you know, in this conflict. And I know, John, you've met many of those refugees. So really, the best thing for the people of the region is to accept what were those Soviet era borders in between the republics and let the peoples move on for their economic prosperity, for their security of all the peoples in the region.
Professor Brenda Schaefer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, Ambassador Elin Suleymanov of the Republic of Azerbaijan represented to the United States. The larger picture here is not only the recovery from the ghost of the Soviet Union, but also from the virus that plagues the region. And we all know the India variant is in the world. And what is to be done to protect the people of Azerbaijan? Vaccines, border caution, and good news about a decrease in hospitalization when we come back. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.